you to schedule, make sure you're here for that special time when there'll be two short messages. Whenever that was, because that's not what you're getting. But you want to be here for the two short ones. Everybody needs to experience two short messages in their lifetime. Oh boy. That's how all my jokes go over. Oh wait, I am the joke. Okay. I'm saved on my way to heaven. God's good to me. I thank God. He's my friend. And I thank the Lord for Christmas season. And I thank God for the privilege of coming and preaching to this flock. And we thank God for the overseer, a dear friend of mine, Brian Pease. We praise God for him. And it's not a one-way street. He's my helper. He's my friend. He's my encourager. And I might answer a couple of questions or help him clarify something every once in a while. But he already had the answer. He just wanted to, sometimes he runs it past me, make sure that he's still staying right down the line. And I appreciate men of God that want to know. Amen. And want to be right and want to stay right. We're living in days when that's just a missing ingredient. And I thank God for the visitors today. Thank God for you coming, and thank God you'll appreciate this church if you'll just hang around it. There are any kind of people that you ever want to meet, you'll find them here, good and bad. I thank God for our fellow missionary. Brother, we appreciate you and your smile. You helped me so much in Sunday school, but please don't sit there and glow so brightly. No, I tell you, it's good. It's good to be back to America, I'm sure, but you see the changes every time you come back. And we appreciate God's blessings upon us. And I'm talking because I'm trying to convince myself to go ahead and preach what's on my heart and not what I prepared. Look with me in Acts chapter 26, please. Acts chapter number 26, and we won't dilly-dally. I'll get in the message here, and we'll get to the point that God has put on my heart. This is one of those, it's not a napkin this time, but it is something I threw together, and we'll pray that the scriptures will cancel out any of my lack of ability on this. I've preached here so many times now. I appreciate this, that I know I say some of the same illustrations. If I have a joke, that you've already heard it from me, but you laugh anyway, and I appreciate that. And all of my messages are the same. I just have different titles to them. But you seem to take them well, and you act like you've never heard them before, so I appreciate that very much. But I need you to listen to this one. I need you to listen. In Acts chapter number 26, I'm going to read in verse 22, the Apostle Paul. He said, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things, than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. For as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." So that's what I want to talk about. Paul said, having obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. Father, I love you. Ask your blessings upon this time. I pray, Lord, that you would give me clarity of thought. I pray that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with thy spirit, that my life would not hinder the message that you have given to us to give today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're sure living in days when some people say, well, we got to church today. Listen, it is a miracle. If we really knew how much the enemy hated us, if we really knew what Satan was trying to do, we would all be scared to come out of our homes. We'd be scared. It's a miracle we made it to church today. And my wife told me that there are several that did not make it to church this morning and will make it to the great assembly in heaven because of accidents upon the highways with the ice storms and things like that. So it's a miracle any of us get here today. It's a miracle you do not... We're not all bankrupt. It's a miracle we're not all sick. It's a miracle we're not all laying a loved one in a funeral home somewhere. But thank God, at the house of God, we go down there, and not everyone's down at the same time, and not everyone's up at the same time, not everyone's going through the same struggles at the same time, so that we can comfort one another with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God has helped every one of us get this far, and we need to learn how to use that one toward another and be an encouragement one toward another. But when I think of what the Apostle Paul said at the end of his ministry in Acts chapter number 26, he said, having obtained the help of God, I continue to this day. Go back with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And let's be reminded of what the Apostle Paul has been going through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, let's begin reading in verse number 18, 2 Corinthians 11, 18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Oh, everybody's having hard times, and he was saying the Corinthians were so spiritual that they felt like because they were so obnoxious that people smote them, and people, because they earned that black eye. Listen, we're the only Bible people read. They're not reading the Bible. We are the epistle known and read of God, known of all men. We're the only Bible they're reading. That's why it's so important that we have a testimony and a blameless lifestyle, so that there nothing about our life or presentation of ourselves will hinder people believing us the first time we witness to them. That's why we preach separation. That's why we preach standards. That's why we preach convictions. It's because you're the one that you're going to witness to, his soul or her soul is at risk of if there's anything in our life or any presentation of ourselves that they would say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk is talking louder than your talk talks. That's why it's not lifestyle evangelism, it's lifestyle testimony that gives us the ability for people to believe us. And we've got to be believed if they're going to believe our message. If it's not working for us, they don't need the heartache. They've got enough burdens. They've got enough problems. That's why I kind of taught in Sunday school today. We've got to mind our business. We've got to mind ourselves. We've got to mind our countenance. We've got to man up to our dispositions and bitternesses and all that kind of thing. Because when people come to the house of God, this is our opportunity to present the best that Jesus Christ can do with the likes of us. This is our opportunity. And so Paul, he said, listen, you think you're spiritual? You think you've gone through some things? You think it's hard for you? He said, I speak as concerning reproach as though we had been weak, howbeit whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Paul said, okay, let me just give you my testimony since you're trying to brag about how much you're going through. He said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths, plural, oft. Now, everything that Paul went through is not recorded in the book of Acts. It's not recorded in the Bible. He went through much more. The Bible doesn't contain everything that Jesus said. It didn't. The Bible says that the world could not contain the books that could be written of just what happened in 3.5 years of the life of Jesus Christ. And the Bible doesn't give us everything, but it gives us the essential truths that we need to know to get to know Him and to get to know about His message and to get to know the background of the messenger. And we don't know everything that Paul went through, but what we do know he went through was beyond human capability. And I remind all of us today that are saved by the grace of God and those that are not saved that whatever God is requiring of us is beyond our capability. Christianity is a supernatural life, and it can only be lived by supernatural means. You're not going to live up to the standard. You've got to be absolutely perfect to go to heaven. Lucifer had one sin when God kicked him out. Adam and Eve had one sin when God kicked him out of the garden. You've got to be absolutely perfect. Nothing and no one that defileth shall enter into heaven. So we're all in trouble. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none of us capable of making our way to heaven, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in our place, substitution. That's always the Bible principle, the law of substitution. Everything about Christianity is substitution. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Everything about it, a life, is a substituted life. His life for mine, then my life for yours, your life for your loved one. How many times we prayed the prayer, oh God, whatever it takes to see my loved one saved. And then when God does that, we whine and cry and bitter and blame God. A lot of things that happen to people aren't because God's chastening you. You get sick or have accidents, or the bottom falls out of this, that, or the other, lose your job. It's not for you necessarily. It's not God, it may not have anything to do with you at all. It may have something to do with putting you on display like he did Job, so that others will see that you have something that they need. Nah, not something, someone. And so Paul went through these details, I'm just saying, in stripes above measure. He said five times, was I scourged with 40 stripes save one. Now, those were when the Jews did it. I remind you that the Romans paid no attention to the Bible as far as how many stripes you could lay on a man. That's of the Jews. The Jews always went 40 stripes and they saved one. One to make sure they didn't go more than the law. They didn't have to do 39. They could have stopped at 3. And remind you, eye for eye and tooth for tooth and blow for blow and stroke for stroke. That wasn't a commandment. That was a limitation. God said, if you're going to give somebody back, if you're going to put justice upon somebody, you can't do more than happened to you. If somebody pokes your eye out, the most you could do is poke their eye. You couldn't poke both of them out. But you didn't have to do that. Not if you wanted to work with grace, not if you wanted to work with love, and not if you wanted to be patient toward all men. But Paul suffered many things. He said, having obtained the help of God, I continue to this day. Paul, where was your help when you had the stripes? Paul, where was your help when you were in prisons frequently? When you were in deaths often? Now we know of two. When he was stoned at Lystra, he was drug out of the town, left as dead. I think he did die. I think he went to heaven. I think he saw unspeakable things, all kinds of things like that. But we also know that he was in the deep, that is, left and abandoned in waters, that we don't have a record of that in the rest of the New Testament. Because we know about the shipwreck, Euroclodon, and the 2 weeks in the storm, but he wasn't in the deep for 3 days. So there must be other occasions he had shipwreck. There were other occasions when things went wrong. He said, in prison, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. We don't have that example. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often. See, he was an evangelist. Different bed, different place every night. The evangelist, the call of God. What a wonderful calling I have. I appreciate that so much. And my evangelism is without borders. I'll go anywhere I can get in. I take books in the Bibles in the China, through Macau, and it's illegal. Oh yeah, I know. And we take them into Muslim territories, and I know. We ought to obey the law until those laws violate the law of Almighty God. Amen. Okay? and we still do it in a Christian manner and a gentleman. I don't shake my fist at any government or anything like that. I'm just going to try to do what Jesus told me to do. He said, in journeyings often, the evangelist, what a lifestyle. I blow in, blow up, and blow out, and the preacher cleans up. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful situation I have. In journeyings often, I just sold a car I bought 2.5 years ago, and it had 200,000 miles on it. So we're journeying. That's not counting the miles on the plane. No, I don't have a personal plane. In perils of water, in perils of robbers. I remember the first time my wife was mugged. The thief came into the store and they sprayed her face with mace and robbed the store and tied up everybody. But she's used to it now, so she, no, it's all right. You don't get used to that, okay? That was one of those days when I said, if the police don't find him, I will. Again, it's a wonder any of us survive. Satan hates God. Satan wants to destroy God. Satan can't touch him. So he takes his wrath out on anybody that names that name. That name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. And that's why we're having such a problem in our military. That's why we're having such problems all across our country. You can pray in the name of any God you want to until you say Jesus. Because that's the name Satan hates. That's the name that everybody's fighting about at Christmas. They don't even want Christ in Christmas. They don't want, you're talking about the baby Jesus in the public school. I mean, why? Because the enemy has taken ground. The enemy has come in like a flood. And we've got to set up a standard against him. And it starts with our local churches. And then it starts with our family. It starts with our stand. It starts with us speaking up. It starts with us being Christians. Perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, and perils of the heathen. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness, and so there is such a thing as false brethren. Okay. In weariness and pain, wait a minute. Weariness and painfulness. You're in good company if you're going through that today. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger. Well, wait a minute. I thought I've been young and I've been old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Didn't say Paul begged. But he sure hungered. And Jesus was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and was a hungered. Many people, Christians all over this world, are hungry today. Don't say, well, God will take care of them. He promised the right. They're not righteous or they would. Oh, listen, get off the charismatic stuff. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, and all that kind of stuff. No, listen. We're all going through a cursed world. Okay? And Paul said, listen, having obtained the help of God, I continue to this day. Where's your help, Lord? Paul, his weariness and painful watchings and hunger and thirst and fastings often and cold and nakedness. Paul? Yeah, in prison. He said, bring me the cloak. Bring me the coat and the parchments and the books. He said, but get here by winter. Why? Because he's naked. That is vulnerable to the elements. Nakedness in the Bible does not necessarily mean not having clothes. It means not having sufficient against the nature. Okay? Naked to the snowstorm. That means you don't have a good winter coat on. Doesn't mean you're going out without any clothes on. This usually means the outer garment is gone. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And I've been preaching for 30, full-time 38 years, say 40 years. Pastor 25, taught Bible college 17, and been on the road in evangelism for 11 years. There's a lot of churches and a lot of preachers in trouble. I'm just starting to understand missionaries. Just because they're 10,000 miles away doesn't mean they're not going through everything that we go through here. But they're having to face it with the help of God. Because Jesus, the Psalm said, Psalm 22, verse 11, he said, be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. And that's talking about Jesus on the cross. Because he was in a place that he never had any help, we will always have help. He took a helpless position so that we would never be without help. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you a parakletos, a paraclete. I'm going to send you one called alongside to help, and he'll be with you always. He'll never leave you. He'll stay with you forever. Because Jesus was alone, we won't ever have to be alone. And because Jesus was helpless, we'll never have to be helpless. He said, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. Well, the Apostle Paul, he was so spiritual. People could do anything to him, and they could touch him and smack him, and just good grace came out all the time. Well, he smote him, and Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, turned on him and said, oh, thou all full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, how long will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of God? I mean, he blew his doors off. So he said, who is so spiritual that, I'm not so spiritual that I can't be offended and that I can't burn, but great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them constantly. We get over it. But even Paul could be offended, and we don't measure up to him. And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, and knoweth that I lie not. Wow, he was giving us his testimony. He just wanted you to know for sure he's not lying to us about that thing. But he said at the end of his ministry, Acts chapter 26, remember, all but four of the New Testament books are all historically can be stuck in the pages of the book of Acts. Okay? And for some people that seem to really have a problem with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John being the Gospels and being a different dispensation and all that kind of stuff, I just want to remind you historically that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written after most of the New Testament books were written. That didn't come first. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John came after most of the book of Acts. Because Mark is one that wrote it, and he's not even right with God by Acts chapter number 23. He wrote the book of Mark. Luke was still on missionary journeys, and he put the book of Acts together following after putting the book of Luke together. I'm just saying he'd already gone through it. So to think, well, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are gospel. That's a different dispensation. No, no. Get real. And there's some hyper-dispensationalism that's always creeping in places. And so we find that he tells us again in Acts chapter number 26, he said, though I've been through all of these things, he said, I have obtained the help of God. Now I just want to quickly, very quickly go through some of the promises that he had, that we have. This is the same way I've gotten this far in those years of ministry. If you add up all those years of ministry, I should be 82. But I was doing some of that at the same time. Pastoring 25 years, teaching college 17. Those running chronologically the same times. Okay. Oh, never mind. And somebody said, boy, if you've been teaching a Bible college for 17 years and you pastored 25, now you're 11, that's older than you are. Yeah, they ran simultaneously. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah, Psalm 3:2. And many see what we're going through and see what the preacher goes through and see what the deacons go through and see what the trustees go through and see what the missionary goes through and see what the Sunday school teachers go through and see what the choir people go through. And they say, there's no help for them of the Lord. Look, they're going. Look at the struggle. Look at what they're going through. Look how their heart is breaking. Look how their lives are falling apart. Look at all that. Oh, no, no, there's hope for you and there's help for you. Why? Because I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. Paul had a place to look. He said, I obtained help of God because I could look. I could come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. He had a place that he could go every day, any time of the day, any time of the circumstances, whatever the kind of circumstances. Paul obtained the help of God and continues to this day. And his testimony continues to this day because he had the help of God. How did he get it? He used a little thing called prayer. That's not just for Paul. That's for every one of us. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And how did he get that grace? Yeah. He asked for it. He kept coming back to the well. He kept going back to the throne. You know, people sometimes get upset that we preachers, we like to give public invitations and invite people to an old-fashioned altar and get down on their knees and pray and say, now, you bring your problem to the throne of grace. This isn't the throne of grace. This is steps as an altar. But there is a place right here. How far away is heaven? Right there. It's literal. But there's another dimension we can't see. It's a spiritual dimension. There's demonic powers warring as we speak. All kind of, if we could see all that was really going on, we'd all be scared to death, wouldn't come out, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, but when you and I bow the knee and pray, we are at the throne of grace in heaven. There are some things you don't want to wait till you get to the judgment seat of Christ and take care of. You can take care of that right down here, as on your knees. And we'll save you having to face Jesus Christ at your death at the judgment seat of Christ. You can take care of it right here, right now. Because He's here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's Him that's listening to the choir saying, it's Him that's sitting up here and measuring the motives and the intents of your heart. It's Jesus Himself that's walking among the pews and knowing if you're loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself that knows why you're here, what you're thinking about, where you'd rather be, and what your intentions are for this day. See, you can be successful in every world religion by just doing what you're supposed to do, the way you're supposed to do it, when you're supposed to do it, how long you're supposed to do it, but not Christianity. Everything about Christianity demands the thoughts and intents of our heart. Everything about Christianity demands the motive must be true before the action is acceptable. You can do your duty, but that's wonderful, and you'll get a full reward for doing your duty. But you do your duty, why? Because you love God. You love your comrades. In that foxhole on the front lines, when you ball walking through a minefield, if one hits one, everybody's going to be affected. And where one member suffers, we all suffer. That's why we walk circumspectly with ourselves and with one another. That's why we try to be very careful about how we speak to one another, how we tease with one another, how we can be friendly without being flirtatious.
That's right.
We try. So he says, having obtained the help of God, I continue this day. What did he do? He had prayer. He had the help. Of course, he had the Holy Ghost. What is it you can't do now? You're alone? You don't have any help? What about the helper? Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus did everything that He did, not by the power of His own deity, but by the help of the Holy Ghost that God put on Him without measure. He said, when I go away, I'm going to send that same Holy Spirit, and he's going to be on you. No, he's going to be in you, and he's going to abide with you forever, and you're going to do greater miracles than I am, because Jesus said, I did these miracles because I'm God the Son. Yes, I had my deity tied behind my back, and I did it all in the power of the Holy Ghost, and I did it all as a perfect man, but I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you, and you're going to be doing these same things that I'm doing, and you're going to have the same power back in you. Oh, my goodness. So we have prayer. We have the power and presence of the Holy Ghost of God, a real person living inside of us. I know we have a new man, and I know the confusion of the day. Most Christians don't know the difference between the voice of conscience, the voice of the Holy Ghost, the voice of the new man, or the voice of demons or anything else. They just, whatever the voice said, they do it, and there are voices. There are many voices in this world, and none of them without signification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14:10. And so we saw this thing about prayer, this thing about the Holy Ghost, and therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice and hope of the glory. I mean, he gives us absolute access to anything and everything we need. All we have to do is access it. But we got to do it by faith. Well, I don't see the help. I don't see this church growing. You're not looking. Go access the arsenal. I remember when I first got saved and I tried to witness to some people, and my pastor, Brother Page, gave me a bunch of tracts. He said, I want you to go out of Belleville, Indiana. He said, it's a Saturday visitation. My pastor couldn't. He had two canes and crutches. He couldn't get around. So he sent his preacher boys everywhere, and he sent me down. He said, now, you go over through town, you take the first left, and you go all the way to the end of that road. Just before the T, there's a long driveway, and there's on Saturday mornings, there's always a whole bunch of cars. There's always a lot of people there. Why don't you go out there and invite those people to church? I get in. I'm brand new Christian, naive as they come. I get my car. Ray Brown and I get in that car. We go down the first road, turn left, take it all the way to the T. There's a long driveway right there. We pull in there, and there's people everywhere just standing outside this house. We're passing out, drop some tracks. We're inviting them to church. Say, we'd sure like to have you. We're Bible Baptist Church, Belleville, Indiana. Brother B.M. Page, he's been on the radio for all these years out of Indianapolis. He invites you to church. Say, come on to church. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. Say, oh, come on down. We appreciate it. And they're just looking at me. I said, well, have a great day. And we got in the car, back out. And as I backed out, it wasn't facing the way we came in. But there was a sign. Kingdom Hall, Jehovah Witnesses. If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have gone in there and passed out tracts. So sometimes God keeps us ignorant, so we'll just go ahead and obey. Well, I went back and told my pastor, I gave him a piece of my mind. He said, I said, Brother Page, you know what that place is? He said, yeah. You knew that's what it was and you sent us down there? He said, yeah. He said, I want you to go down the street, go to the next place. There's a house down the end of the third block. He said, I've been talking to him on the phone. I've been inviting him to church. I said, I just want you to personally follow up. So Ray Brown and I get back in the car. Oh, this is another Saturday, but a similar situation. We go up there, and we knock on that door, and a man comes to the door. He said, did that old preacher send you down here? He reaches for his axe. He said, you tell that old man to leave me alone. I don't want him, his God. I don't want that church. Don't you ever come back. I said, I won't be back. And I go, and I went back to the church. He said, Brother Page, you know that man was madder than a hornet when we got there. He said, well, I thought he'd receive you a little better than he would me. Visitation still scares me. I've been doing it for almost 40 years. But how did we survive having obtained the help of God? We continue to this day, same as you. And some, even when we can't see the help of God, we know it's there. I remember Gary Reich, a young man I led to the Lord in Brooklyn, Indiana, and he went out first week after he got saved and baptized. He went on visitation with me, went out knocking on doors, and first door out of the car, first door, right up to the door, knocked on that door, and I'm standing out there with a smile on my face. He's standing there like that, and he was looking. I said, "Oh, it's, everything's all right. Let's talk to people about Jesus. Just invite them to church. We're not going to try to preach them a sermon or anything." And was that, all of a sudden, he said, "Who is that?" I said, "That's Mike Thurman. I'm pastor down here at New Life Baptist Church." He said, "A preacher." He said, "A preacher." And well, he started yelling at somebody else in the house. He said, "Get my gun. There's a preacher at the door." I heard gun. Gary looks at me. I look at Gary. Then we heard it. You know that sound. So we're backing out. He comes out the front door with a shotgun. Literally, I'm not saying I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm just saying because I'm almost dying. But I'm telling you the truth. This is Gary Reich's first experience, last experience. And we started backing out, you know. He coming out the front door. I looked across the street, and there's a man washing his car and had the water hose up in the air. The water was just running down his arm. His eyes were looking at what that man doing. He said, "I don't believe in that God. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in him. I don't believe in that." I said, "Sir, listen, this is your home. If you don't want us here, I'll be happy to leave." He said, "I don't want that stuff. I don't like that. I don't believe in that stuff." I said, "Sir, if you don't believe it, what are you so scared of?" I didn't get Gary back to visitation, but he stayed faithful in church. He greeted people at the door. He said, "You don't have a gun, do you?" Also, he had the help of God. He had the help of God by prayer. He had the help of God by the Holy Ghost. He had the help of, in Romans 16, verse 3, this is one I do want you to look at. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Paul said, "Having obtained the help of God, I continue this day." Had the Holy Ghost, had the help of the throne of grace, I had prayer. He said, "And I had helpers." You know, God's people, I don't mean to be irreverent, but I have never had God open the windows of heaven and pour out money on me. Everything I've gotten, as I said in Sunday school, it came through somebody's hands. We're his hands. We're his feet. You have his money in your billfold. That's his money. You're stewards of his money. And so when God wants to do something for me, he has to prompt somebody. And they say, "I ain't going to do that." So he has to prompt somebody else. "Well, I'm not going to do that." So he prompts somebody else. God wants to send the Word of God to Spain or to Portugal or to Romania. He'll urge some people. "I'm not going to go there. I got a good job. I got security. Got all this." And he'll keep going and prompting. And until somebody says, "Here am I. Send me." And you know how they get there? Because somebody else says, "I'm going to help." Yeah. Having obtained the help of God, Aquila and Priscilla, when Paul was destitute, getting hungry, they didn't have a way to directly get money and mail and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he was gone months at a time. And Thessalonica sent to his need once and again. And the Philippi sent to him. But it didn't just go straight there by mail. It didn't get there by wire or... Western Union's gone. So he had to take jobs in foreign countries. Of course, you can't do that now. When I go to India, if I run out of money, I can't get a job. It's illegal. Paul could get a job because Rome owned everybody. America is an independent sovereign nation. We can't, an American citizen can't just go anywhere and work without that country's permission. And so if I'm on the field and I don't have anything, if our brother is on the field, he doesn't have anything, he can't just go out and get a job, pay his way home. Somebody's got to help him. And so he's obtained the help of God. I've obtained the help of God. A man in America pastoring a church, if the people don't give to him, where's he supposed to do? We're all in this together. And so he obtained the help of God through individual helpers. I remember in my life as a... That clock is not my friend today.
Ignore it.
In the name of the Lord Jesus... No, slow down. Sun, stand thou still, and moon... Never mind. Okay, it doesn't work for me like it did Joshua. But there's some people come to help, and I'm not glad to see them. Some people come to help, and they're a greater burden than they are help. Oh my, I could tell you stories about that, but all true. Individual helpers, Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in the Lord. Verse 9 said, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Paul had people. He said, how'd you get there? How'd you do that? What do you do when you break down along the highway? What do? Where do you go? I had help. Somebody helped me. Sometimes it was lost people. You're given half a chance, anybody can be a nice person.
That's right.
Well, I was a wonderful person before I got saved. If you were my friend, if I liked you. And if we would stop being so obnoxious about our Christianity, somebody might see that we're obviously Christians and do something. God used the ravens to feed Elijah. He can use lost people to help us. And sometimes that gives us an opportunity to witness. Individual helpers. Look, now, most important verse, 1 Corinthians 12:28, since I'm almost to my introduction. So I'm going to get through the introduction because I know the junior church and the bus kids and all that. So in 1 Corinthians 12:28, he said, yes, here it is. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophet, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. People need help, and the first thing they do is leave the church. When right there says, you know where your help is? Right there in the church. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. He said, third, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps. Just stay in the ship. You need help. You're going to need help to get through this. You have an enemy if you're saved by the grace of God. If you're not, you need help. You need to stand to the sound of the Word of God and let the Spirit of God direct you and help you and illuminate your mind and bring you under Holy Ghost conviction so that you will repent of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the only place you can get help in this world is under the sound of the gospel. And that's what goes on in Independent Fundamental Bible-Believing Baptist churches and many other kinds. And so you're going to need individual helpers. You're going to have you're going to need a local church. Paul made it through because of the help of the church. As I said before, Philippi, Thessalonica, even the Corinthian church sent to him, the Jerusalem church sent to him, and he was constantly taking offerings down to the Jerusalem church to help the poor Christians who were being martyred and suffering because of the satanic attack and that was upon the church at Jerusalem. And so we find all these things are going on. I think 2 Corinthians 2:18, ye also helping together by prayer for me. It's not a little thing when the church prays for the missionary. Or, now I'm going to say this, pastors ought to pray for all their people. But the pastors are the most vulnerable. The one that Satan wants the most is the pastor, not the visiting evangelist or missionary. If he can destroy the shepherd, he can destroy the flock. So a pastor ought to always have more people praying for him than he's praying for. If everybody's praying, I'll even go farther than that. Next time you want to curse the darkness, or next time you want to slam our president, if we'd spend more time praying for him instead of criticizing him. I got more confidence you praying for our president than you razzing him. I think your prayers are going to do more than all your postings. You're welcome. Because I still believe in miracles. Paul didn't have this last one. But praise God, I have. How have I made it? How did Paul make it up through most of his life? He could have led about a sister, a bride, a wife, just like Peter did. But he chose not to. 40 years ago, my wife became the luckiest woman that ever lived. You can decide if that's good luck or bad luck. But God made a help meet for me. I am what I am by the grace of God, and I can spell grace, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. How do we make it? God sends us a helper. Sometimes it's a husband, sometimes it's a wife. My son's been my help. My granddaughter was a help when I needed him most. I remember my wife's sister, 2 years ago, on my birthday, February 5th, I preached the funeral of a 21-year-old nephew who had been beaten and murdered in Jacksonville, Florida. There's nothing you can do to help. There's no words to say. Gang of drug people, just merciless. And 3 weeks after that funeral, God saved my sister-in-law by giving her a granddaughter. Substitution. And her son's first baby was named after the brother. So she still had a peace. She still had something made life go on. God does not leave us helpless. He comes to us. You're never alone. And He will not leave you alone. I'm saying He won't leave you alone. He won't let you get by. He won't let you go do your own thing. He won't leave you alone. He'll be on you like white on rice, like a duck on a June bug. Because He's a faithful, faithful father, faithful friend, faithful brother. But He won't let you face life without Him. He won't let you face death without Him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You see, Jesus was alone, so we don't have to be. Jesus was left absolutely helpless before the raging bulls of Bashan on the cross of Calvary, with all the darkness, the destruction of His own life, so we will never have to be helpless. It was bought with a price. It's ours. So every time you're down, lift up your head. You have a Redeemer. You have a Savior. You have help. Lift up your eyes into the hills, from whence cometh your help. When the disciples were in the midst of the storm and about to submit to the waves, Jesus, seeing them afar away on the mountaintop, came to them walking on the water and said, "It is I, be of good cheer. I'm here." And I hope you've heard the voice of the Savior today. If you're lost, saying, "That's not a preacher trying to make you upset. That's me trying to tell you I love you. And I want you to come to me." And if you're here saved, that's not just some preacher sermon. That's the voice of the Lord Jesus saying, "I'm with you. You're not alone in this. I've got you covered. We'll get through this together." What's your need? Just get near to Him. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Father, we love you. Ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.